How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Update with Dave Dufour and Keith Parrish.
Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. A very special episode of the Daily Ding. As the NBA regular season draws to a close, we look ahead to the play-in and the playoffs with excitement and anticipation. The NBA playoffs represent the ultimate test of a team's strength, strategy, and mental fortitude, and this year's playoffs promise to be one of the most thrilling and competitive in recent memory. In the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks have emerged as the team to beat, led by the unstoppable and unflappable Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Bucks have been dominant all season, finishing with the best record in the Eastern Conference. However, they will face stiff competition from the Philadelphia 76ers, who are led by MVP candidate and likely winner Joel Embiid. But we should not overlook last year's finals runner-up, the Boston Celtics, who with a deep and talented roster are led by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and are looking to make a return trip to the finals. In the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets have been impressive with their balanced team play and the domination of Nikola Jokic. But the looming threat of the Golden State Warriors cannot be ignored. With the return of Andrew Wiggins, the resurgence of Klay Thompson, and the ever-dangerous Stephen Curry, the Warriors are looking to defend their championship. They may not have had the best regular season, but the playoffs are a completely different beast. And let's not forget the Phoenix Suns. With the help of Kevin Durant, they hope to enter their name into the favorites conversation. But it's not just about the favorites this year. We always have some surprises in the playoffs. And this year, the feel-good story is the Sacramento Kings. After years of mediocrity, the Kings have finally found their footing, thanks in large part to the incredible play of De'Aaron Fox. While they may not be the favorites to win it all, the Kings have already shown that they're a team to be reckoned with. So buckle up, because the playoffs are here and anything can happen. Keith Parrish, Weekend Update, Daily Ding, regular season finale. Welcome.
Thank you, Dave. That was beautiful and epic. I'm now very fired up to wait 6 days for the playoffs to start. No, well, the play-in's going to be incredible, Dave. The play-in's going to be incredible.
The playoffs have been going on for weeks. I don't know where you've been. And the final day of the regular season was chaos. Plain and simple.
Well, that's one word for it. We had every team play, and I think something like four teams wanted to win. So it wasn't totally as epic maybe as it could have been. There were certainly some people who wanted to improve their draft position on the final day. It did come down in the second window of games where there actually were teams checking the scoreboard. There were Clippers fans being like, wait a minute, do we want to lose right now? No, it's too risky. We can't do it. We have to win. And I think Ty Lue was there where the coaching staff was like, wait, what's the score of the Pelicans-Timberwolves? Is there any way we can slow this game down? There was a moment where this Clippers-Suns game, where the Suns are not playing the regulars, and the Clippers, you know, have the chance of either being the 5 seed, the 6 seed, the 7 seed. We don't want to be the 7 seed. Last year, Paul George got sick, and they were in the play-in, and then all of a sudden they're out of the playoffs. So, like, you don't want to be in the play-in no matter what. But there was a delay in the Suns-Clippers game. And they have had to fix some speaker or something. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is this shenanigans? Are they slowing the game down to find out what happens? Because, like, the results of Pelicans-Timberwolves greatly affected whether or not the Clippers wanted to win. Because by winning, the Clippers end up, now we know they're going to face the Suns in the first round. That doesn't sound that much fun. You spoke very eloquently about our Sacramento Kings and the great season they're having. But if you have the chance to play the Kings or Kevin Durant in the playoffs, I'm sorry, Sacramento fans. I'm sorry, like the Beamers. Most people are going to pick to play the Kings over the Suns. But as it turned out, there was excitement. These games came down to the final seconds, and they could not back their way into the exact slot they wanted. They had to actually go out to play to win. Imagine that, Dave.
Well, let's start in Minnesota, where the Pelicans came into town in control of their own destiny, Keith. And Brandon Ingram was incredible in this game. A game-high 42 points, but it was not enough. The Minnesota Timberwolves mount a comeback in spite of internal strife and injury to beat the Pelicans 113-108, thanks to Anthony Edwards, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 blocks. This guy is a star, Keith. That's the kind of guy that can lead you to playoff success.
Well, we've already seen his first postseason run. He was unbelievable. I mean, they didn't win. They made it from the play-in last year. He was awesome. Against the Grizzlies last year in the first round of the playoffs, he was outrageously good. And now we see in this one, backs against the wall. He's getting, 4 steals, 4 blocks? I mean, the moment of the game, outside of the extracurricular stuff, which honestly probably is the moment of the game. But with the game in the balance, he blocks CJ McCollum at the rim and then ends up with an and-one on the other side. Like, his stat line is absolutely absurd, finishing with 26 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, and 4 steals. That's doing everything that you have to do to get your team into a better spot in the postseason. And the Pelicans fall all the way down to the 9 seed. This is a tough look for them. Yes, Ingram with the 42, but Gobert gets sent home in this one. You're up at halftime. Jaden McDaniels, who's, you know, a fringe like all defensive contender, I mean, for all defensive team, he's an absolutely integral part of the Timberwolves. He breaks his hand by punching a wall in frustration. So the Timberwolves are down Gobert, down Jaden McDaniels. They depend on savvy veterans, Kyle Anderson and Torian Prince. And like, you got to feel disappointed if you're a Pelicans fan.
Yeah, and I mean, let's get to the biggest story to come out of this game, aside from the Timberwolves getting the 8th seed, which is Rudy Gobert threw a punch at Kyle Anderson late in the second quarter during a timeout, and then the team dismissed him for the rest of the game. They sent him home. Yeah. Now, not to France, but they sent him to, I'm assuming, to his apartment in Minnesota. I mean, they might send him to France this summer, though. I mean, this is this is a bad sign when you're, you know, all NBA defensive level center and you're very good, Keith's favorite player in the NBA, power forward and backup point guard, are getting into it.
I briefly got confused. Yes, Anderson, one of my favorite players in the NBA. I thought you were making a Gobert joke.
And Kyle Anderson is, I watch a lot of Timberwolves games.
Yeah.
He can be demonstrative when teammates make defensive mistakes. But, you know, that's part of having developing a working relationship with someone. And Rudy Gobert also can get frustrated with his teammates when they make defensive mistakes. So, guys get heated in the heat of battle, you should say. You can't throw a punch at your teammate. I don't care. You just cannot do it.
It's an inexcusable moment. Of course, it is now going to become a social media thing because Gobert commented on Draymond punching his teammate in the preseason. So, of course, Draymond has come out now and tweeted the exact same words that Gobert sent back in the preseason, now that Gobert has punched his own teammate. Tim Connelly says, you know, they're going to handle it internally, but honestly, we're going to find out, Dave, whether or not he suits up or not. The punishment will no longer be internal when we find out the injury report, if Gobert is going to be available even for the play-in game against the Lakers. What do you think, Dave? I feel like they're going to be like, sorry, like, you know, you punched our guy, you're suspended. But I don't know, because we've seen teams, the Warriors, skirt around this and not suspend him. You know, like they might do some kind of fine. I don't know. I mean, you're playing for your season. Yeah, as the 8 seed, you have a chance to lose. But then, like, you know, then it's essentially a single game
elimination. Let me ask you, Keith. I'm going to ask you a question here. If it was the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
They would suspend Rudy, right?
I don't know. I don't know what teams do anymore.
I think accountability. I refuse to believe that accountability doesn't matter. And like, listen, maybe Rudy will apologize to Kyle, apologize to the team, and the team feels like, hey, look, this is out of character, which I've never seen Rudy Gobert even really get heated like that with a teammate in that fashion, right? It never has appeared to become physical. I don't think Rudy Gobert is that guy. I mean, very obviously.
So I think
he does an apology and the team is cool with it, maybe he won't get suspended and maybe that's okay and all fine and good. But I just don't, I mean, from an NBA standpoint, I mean, if this was an opposing player, though.
You can't, no, but that's totally different.
I understand. I understand. I feel still like, throwing a punch.
I feel like I've a lot of leeway for, as you said, like heat of the battle. Like, this is your teammate. If he wanted to punch him, like, in the face, the head, or something, he could have. He punched him hard, but he punched him in the arm. He punched him in the shoulder. And I think there's degrees to these things. And I don't know. I've never been in the situation. I've never been a professional athlete. And so it's like, it's hard for me to say, like, what they choose to do, what is even appropriate in this situation. I do know it's awkward, and I do know I'm going to make jokes about the Timberwolves coming back and winning because Gobert wasn't there. And I just, sorry, Gobert's going to be the butt of my jokes once again. I don't, like, if he plays, like, do they need him to beat the Lakers? I don't know.
They have Kat.
I mean, honestly, if Naz Reid was around, was healthy, we'd be like, fine. Yeah. Gobert, you don't get a
matter
play.
Of fact, I forgot that Naz Reid hurt his wrist because nobody's really been playing all week. So it's just, and they had the whole flu going through their team. So guys were in and out of the lineup. And I completely forgot that Naz Reid broke his wrist, until this game. And I was like, oh yeah, they don't even have Naz Reid to lean on. So I don't know if he's going to play or not. I guess I'm assuming we'll find out at some point on Monday. Maybe Tuesday. Maybe he's a game time decision. I don't know. But either way, Timberwolves pick up a big win, but may have lost something in the process. And you know, certainly, we'll see how that goes. The other games that mattered, let's kind of roll through them real quick.
Okay.
Golden State Warriors went to Portland, where they just dominate. And man, they scored 55 points in the first quarter. Klay Thompson needed 5 threes to get to 300 for the season. He did that in the first 6 minutes of the game, Keith. Like, this team, when it wants to do stuff, can just do it. It's frustrating.
Well, I don't know.
And the Blazers suck.
I mean,
Blazers running out Trenton. I mean, I'm sorry, Kevin Knox started.
Kevin Knox has been playing well. Honestly, the Blazers have been. They played a guy the other night against the Grizzlies who didn't have a basketball reference page. I apologize for his name escapes me right now. But like, the Blazers at least played some of their normal guys again. But this doesn't, like, this isn't, hey, the Warriors are actually winning a road game, hooray for them. No, the Blazers, they want to lose. They were working hard to make sure they didn't lose their toughly fought for tankathon standings. If they had won, they could have risen up and tied themselves with a Magic. They can't mess around and do that. No, the Trailblazers had a goal today, and it was to lose a basketball game. The Warriors had a goal to win, and it worked out for them. And of course, an NBA record for first quarter scoring, the highest first quarter in NBA history, with 55 points from the Warriors today.
Yeah, they should have gone for 200. That's my take on that. Clippers go to Phoenix to play, we'll call them the Zombie Suns, because nobody's playing for Phoenix. And the Clippers had to come from behind for the win. They were trailing 10 late in the third, and then they eventually just came back. 119-114, they win. And they had their own scuffle with Mason Plumlee and Bones Highland. Now, not as bad as the Gobert and Kyle Anderson situation, but Bones Highland is a guy who's getting a reputation, in my opinion, Keith. Seems like he can't get along with his teammates all that well. Doesn't respond to criticism very well.
Maybe so. Yeah, I mean, this was a weird, again, end of the season, maybe everybody's tired. Maybe everybody's a little frustrated. We saw Ochai Agbaji get ejected. It's just lots going on. It's a stressful time of the year. You know, you're playing in your off seasons. You're playing in your playoff travel. You know, everyone's going to be hitting you up for tickets soon. And the Clippers, again, they were scoreboard watching. It turned out fine for them. I mean, also, they're not used to playing back-to-backs. So maybe just everyone was grumpy having to play two games in a row. I know they're very lax over there about not making their guys play in consecutive games. But again, the Clippers handled their business. Maybe we can look at the standings now and say, hey, it might have been better if you would have lost. But I mean, it's also possible the Kings would have run the Clippers out of the gym in a seven-game series. I'm not saying I would have picked the Clippers. Just saying maybe it would have been a better matchup for them as opposed to having to face Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Chris Paul.
Yep. And the Lakers took care of business at home, 128-117. LeBron James hit 8 threes, had 36 points. Anthony Davis had a 16-point, 13-rebound night. Defense looked fantastic from Anthony Davis in this game in stretches. But the Lakers, they needed help. They're in the play-in, so they're the 7th seed. Minnesota Timberwolves are the 8th seed. They're going to play Tuesday night. The Pelicans are the 9th seed. They're going to have to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, but they get to host that game. And I think everything else is just, it's all set now. The end of the season's over. The play-in is set. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for, Keith.
It is what we've been waiting for. I feel like these last days of the season, you know, we've talked a lot, personally, I talk a lot online about, like, if more teams had more things to play for. Like, this Jazz game against the Lakers, the Jazz performed pretty hard, but honestly, they're shutting it down. They shut it down weeks ago because they don't want draft picks. And it's just like, I don't know. It's always going to be more interesting to me if the sport has stakes that you're playing for. And we dealt with it with this Mavericks thing over the weekend. And the Mavericks played today. They had their season wrap-up interviews. Kyrie did not make himself available to the media for a wrap-up with the Dallas media. But, you know, Luka did. Luka's like,
well, he didn't know those guys. He just got there.
That's true. That's fair. But it was a weird weekend for the Mavericks, Dave. Can we say that?
Absolutely.
Their chances of making the postseason were slim because, again, we can scoreboard watch and we can say, all right, we need the Thunder to lose. The Thunder are going to play the second unit Grizzlies, and even if Kenneth Lofton Jr. scores 42 on them, they're still probably not going to lose. And so the Mavericks decided internally, we have, what, like a 80% chance of keeping our pick? If we tank it out, we would rather have an 80% chance at keeping a top 10 pick as opposed to have a slim chance to make the postseason, which frankly is a shocking decision in my mind for a team with Luka Doncic and with Kyrie Irving to not be like, you're not going to fight to the final whistle. Like maybe my opinion would be different if like it was certain they were going to keep their draft pick, or like the fact that there was uncertainty on both sides. I'm like,
right.
you're not going to try.
It was a choice. They literally made a choice not to try.
Yeah.
And they made it Friday morning. I mean, Kyrie had an incredible fourth quarter their previous game. I can't remember if it was Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday night. Had an incredible fourth quarter to bring them back to keep their playoff hopes alive. He scored 19 right. And so I refuse to believe it was a player decision that they didn't want to play on Friday.
Well, Luka already stated that he wanted to play as long as there was still a chance.
It's a bad scene. And so word came out that the NBA is going to launch an investigation, which is farcical. It's silly.
Farcical, sure.
Listen, they just did the quiet part as loud as right, possible. Right. Jason Kidd admitted out loud, hey, look, man, my boss has basically said this is what we're doing. And I have a problem with that they did it, that was the choice that they made and when they made it. I don't have a problem with them doing the same thing other teams do. Like, I think that there is, we can split hairs on this topic. I'm anti-tanking generally. I wish the NBA would take away the incentive completely. I would go to a full lottery. Everyone's in it. And now if you lose, you lose because you suck. Don't lose on purpose. But this was an instance where it just feels like Friday morning they decided, hey, you know what? We're done.
Well, so a few things. I mean, one, we're not daft. We understand why teams are losing. 100%. And we understand the idea of like, hey, this has been incentivized by the league's rules. That's why I crack up when like NBA spokesman Mike Bass is opening an investigation into why the Mavericks did this. What do you mean why?
Victor Wembanyama.
They're incentivized. Yes. You literally have a Victor Wembanyama channel on the NBA app. Like you're incentivized to lose. It was strange. I mean, again, and now Mavericks fans who feel like they have to defend themselves, like, you have to recognize this was different. Because, like, yes, the Trailblazers have been embarrassing themselves and the league and the sport for a while, but we've gotten used to that. Yes, the Thunder could have made the play-in each of the past two seasons before this one if they wanted to. They did not want to. But, like, when you have Luka Doncic and he says, I want to play if I have a chance, and then he's like, oh, organizationally, we were told we don't want you to try anymore. And then, it's Slovenian Knights, but he's going to play a quarter. And then Jaden Hardy, hits a half-court shot at the halftime buzzer to go up by 13. And they're like, we can't have that. And so then, like, you start pulling guys out. And it's like, this is now, again, the line I use is, this is no longer sports. If you're not trying to win, it's not sports. It's something else. It's just entertainment. It's different. And so that's where it gets weird. And like, I don't know if the league's going to do anything because again, like other teams are tanking. The Jazz could have made the play-in this year if they wanted to. They didn't want to. And so again, I feel like it's a league problem where like there are simple fixes. You could just set the lottery date, make it a month ago. You could be like, hey, the lottery's based on what your record was on, I don't know, March 9th. But at the very end, it would clean up the people who were at the last second, be like, you know what? We're going to lose our final two games. We're so close to the play-in. And also maybe it's the first time where you have a team being like, we have a chance at the play-in. No, thank you, sir.
That is super off-putting. Completely off-putting.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful, designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Little bit of news also to wrap up the weekend. A couple of coaching changes happening in the league. Pistons coach Dwayne Casey is now done as the coach, but he's going to move into the front office, which, listen, I think when they made the decision to tank, they brought Dwayne Casey in to be an adult in the room. I think he's done a really good job there as far as, you know, teaching these guys. You don't hear of any problems in Detroit. Similar to Toronto, right? He may not be the guy to get him to the next level, but he's going to move to the front office where I'm assuming some of his leadership will sort of translate and he can help guide them into the competitive future that is sure to come with all the young talent that they have in that team. And in Houston, they are not going to pick up the fourth-year option of head coach Steven Silas, so they will be in the coaching market. Had a huge story from Shams Charania, Kelly Eco, and Sam Amick over at The Athletic detailing some of the behind-the-scenes stuff in Houston, and it's not great, but that story is great, worth a read, so go and check that out. Keith, never a good idea for your GM to come and interfere with your coach's practice.
Yeah, it's not a great look there, and obviously there's been stuff, I feel like coming out of Houston for a while, I'm just like, I don't know. I hear ex-players talking about it, like maybe the lack of discipline with among the players and what's going on there. So I'll keep reading The Athletic to find out more about that situation. Oh, I do want to add, Dave, I do want to say Justin Manaya is the player on the Trailblazers who did not have a basketball reference page who now does. I want to recognize him. Also, by the way, a guy named Chance Comanche played for the Trailblazers today. He does not have a basketball reference page.
There you go. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. That's going to do it for the regular season. Keith, playoffs. Let's go.
Ding, ding.